glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Listening friend, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 30th, 2014. Tomorrow starts May Day. Get those hummingbird feeders readied and out, because in the next few days, I think there'll be some sightings throughout our area. I talked about that a little yesterday on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, but I think the hummingbirds, as it warms up a little, will be traveling through the area. And once you get them, oftentimes they'll return each and every year. So last year I had like 30 or 40 at one point in the yard, so I'm hoping to have them return. We'll see what happens, but get those hummingbird feeders purchased. And what I do at the beginning of the year, usually the first few weeks of May, I usually do like a 50% sugar and then water. So that's my secret to attract some.
Then when you get the birds.
Once I get all fired up. Hey, I want to give our listeners a word picture. I want to color in their minds something that just happened here in the studio. Jason gets here a little early. Earlier, and we always pray up the program, but sometimes prior to that, we have some conversation. We talk various topics or maybe what will come to mind during the program. And today, I call it purging, where I just had a bunch going on. And so I purged it all out onto him, you know, just like, oh, this thing's happening. And I've been a little stressed out about the prayer breakfast coming up and not knowing really what I was going to talk about. And then there's this situation with a family member and these other things and these other things. So if you can picture... What is it, the Tasmanian devil, the little guy where there's that
spins
dust
around.
Cloud?
Yeah.
Or who's the guy with the Peanuts character where there's always that cloud of smoke around him? He's like... Pigpen.
Pigpen.
There's always that
I
dust
say
cloud.
Dirtbag. I was like, no, that's not it.
Well, that's a contemporary version. But anyways, as I caught myself in the midst of all this purging and kind of commotion, like this dust storm, Jason began the prayer time. And it's just like things began to get settled and calmed. And some of that is just because I purged it all out onto you. But I don't know if that's Pastoral 101, but you brought a sense of peace, of some clarity. And I appreciate the prayer time. And there was just almost a sense in my heart of a calmness. And I think even as you prayed, when we go before God, a lot of things get sorted out and resolved. But appreciate your prayer time and praying on behalf of the listener that something that we say or share during this time will be helpful or encouraging. So thanks for bringing calm to the studio. And and I had said one other thing to you about your message this past Sunday, which I thought was wonderful. Wonderful meaning that brought some conviction to my heart, and yet God was honored. And it was a good worship experience from the announcements through the prayer time, through the delivering of his word, the dividing of God's word. And I said something about your teaching, and you said something about, let's talk about the Bible. And so I see you have your Bible open, and I don't know if there's something that the Lord's put on your heart, maybe even this very morning, or something that is unique or striking as you've gone before him this very day. Anything in the Bible that's impressed on your heart of late?
Hebrews 12:28, which says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship and reverence and awe. I mean, just for me, I mean, just the idea of grateful. Are we really grateful for the work of the cross? I mean, coming out of Holy Week and coming out of what Jesus has done, are we grateful for the cross? I mean, do we look at the cross and in and through the cross, does it create in us this longing to be near to Jesus? Does it draw us near? Does it create this space where you go, there's nothing more that I want than to be near to Jesus and to be close to Jesus? I mean, this utter gratefulness. And I just believe that. I think I said it on Sunday. I said, you know, if you understand how you're saved, if you understand the work that went into Jesus Christ saving you, and you can read that in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30, that he foreknew you and he predetermined you, that he called you, and that if you are in Christ, he justified you, which means that your sins passed, present and future have been taken upon him, and his righteousness has been imputed into you. And then he promises in that passage also a future glory, a door open into a future glory. I mean, no longer do you have to look at this life as kind of like ending at some point. I mean, I really firmly believe that at some point you're going to get to, like, the speed bump, and it's just going to be like a bump, and then you're in glory. It's not going to be this, like, oh, no. I mean, Stephen didn't look into heaven and go, like, oh, no, I'm leaving this thing. No, he's like, oh. Heavens opened up, and he saw Jesus by the right hand of God, and he saw the glory of the throne.
And so we experience some of that when our born-again experience begins. In a sense, we're living in that glory because the Holy Spirit's abiding us. We have that peace and hope and comfort. And
well, you know, that's a funny thing, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But I think if we understand what happens in Hebrews 8:29-30, I think then pride's impossible. Arrogance is obliterated, and your license for living sin dies because you've been set free to pursue God and pursue Jesus Christ. And through that, you have life and vitality. And you have a real sense of living, not kind of this shadow life or this enslaved life where everything you do just deposits back to you shame and guilt. And so it's an amazing – if you realize that, then suddenly all you want to do is be drawn towards the cross. And I think one of our – I've said this before, and I think I said it in last week's program maybe, but I think our greatest enemy is comfort. I mean, we arrive at church and we have the audacity to complain about coffee or go, you know, I just don't really like this song. I mean, you get the opportunity and the honor to stand in a place appointed to you to sing praises to God Almighty. Not only that, but if we understand Scripture correctly, His ear is turned and attentive towards you. And you're like, I don't really like this song. Oh, really? When's this a message done yet? I'm hungry. You know, I mean, we don't even, oh, prayer? I don't like praying. I mean, we have this like moment where we're like, ah, and yet there are people who are going into the jungle. I mean, there are people who are huddling in basements and places to pray, and there is nothing more they want than to sing songs to God. I mean, church services that are lasting hours upon hours long because you can't get them to leave because they've come into this place and they've given so much. The cost has been so high to arrive there that all of a sudden they're like, I don't want to leave. And so they just keep worshiping and they keep praying. Look, I'm not worried about our brothers and sisters in China. I'm not worried about our brothers and sisters in all these other countries that are oppressed. I'm worried about their physical safety. I'm not worried about their spiritual safety. I'm worried about our spiritual safety because in our comfort, there is no cost to the worship that we do, and therefore we take it for granted. You know, I think about, you just alluded to it a minute ago, Mark, that when we get saved, like anybody who gets saved, this is their story. All of a sudden, everything that mattered to them doesn't matter anymore. All of a sudden, they're on a wave 50 feet high, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, let's just be honest. In the Christian world, sometimes somebody who just gets saved can be overbearing at times because they have just got an exuberance and a joy. They have just seen and look at their whole life is being blown up. Everything that they once thought that they loved and liked and needed and da-da, gone. And they're willing to do that. They're willing to have their comfort upset. But then complacency kind of settles in. And we get complacent and all of a sudden we're like, man, Jesus, why are you messing up my room? I mean, you know, and that's why when you talk to the Jewish people, I mean, they're so adamant about cleaning the house and getting the house in order. Well, it's a picture for us of going through the house and getting all that leaven and things out of the house. And when Jesus references it in Scripture, that's the same thing that Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, are you willing to dig through your entire house to get rid of all the things that shouldn't be in your house? And most of us would say, Jesus, come on, man. Why are you digging around my house? Don't go in that drawer, Jesus. That's where I keep all my junk. That's my junk drawer. It's always messy. Just leave it alone. How many of us have one of those drawers in our house where we're like, that's a junk drawer. Don't go in there. And everything that we don't want or everything we don't need, we throw inside of that drawer. Well, you know, each one of us have that inside of our heart. And we throw everything there and we hope to God that Jesus will not come and open that drawer. And Jesus, all he wants to do is open that drawer because Galatians 5:1, for freedom you have been set free. Therefore, do not go back to a yoke of burden and slavery. Do not be enslaved again. And everything that's in that drawer will seek to enslave you. And so, you know, I think that the greatest thing, the greatest gift that we could have as Christians would be to be uncomfortable at times. Discomfort. I believe that persecution of our comfort is good. I mean, I want to be unsettled by it. And isn't that really what happens when a miracle happens? I mean, like, let's just be honest. I mean, I've been in situations where people are really sick, they're really ill, they're in the hospital, and I come and I pray and plead and just ask the Lord to heal them. But there is always, if we're honest, there's always, like, you know, this other side where you're going, okay, you know what, maybe it's not God's will to heal him here. Maybe he's going to heal him in future glory. Maybe he's going to do this. And for some people, they have admitted to me that, you know what, I prayed that he would be healed, but I just didn't really think God was going to do it. I knew. I mean, I looked at the charts. I saw. I mean, he wasn't doing well. I mean, he's on the verge of death. I was counting the fact that we were going to bury him soon. And I think we battle with that. Because you know what? You know what a miracle is? You know when I've seen people get healed, like miracle healing, like where you're in the hospital one day and it's like, you know, the thing's struggling to go boop, boop, you know, like the heart thing. And then you come back the next day and they're sitting up and they're eating. And you're like, what happened? I mean, that upsets my world. I mean, because that's not the way it's supposed to happen. When you walk out of a room and somebody is on the verge of death, you expect to walk back in the room into death. And when it doesn't happen, you go, wow. And in a way, we go, oh, we raise our hands. We say, glory to God for this. Amazing. But in the other way, I think we're like wrestling with what that means for us because it upsets our conception of what reality is. And so, you know, I think that we've got to look. So Hebrews says, therefore, let us be grateful. So if we know what Jesus did in our life, then we're grateful for what Jesus did. And we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Look at, we're shaken by everything. If you're honest, you're shaken by everything. Even the most devout and faithful people I know are shaken by things at times. But it says this kingdom can't be shaken. So your orientation is on this kingdom that cannot be shaken. And because you know that it cannot be shaken, there's nothing more that you would do than to offer worship towards it. And you would offer God acceptable worship, reverence in this passage, and awe. And I just want you to know that you alone and I alone, apart from God's word, we can't do that. You can't offer acceptable worship, reverence, and awe apart from God's word. And some of you are going, well, what do you mean? Why can't I do that? I have one answer for you. It's called McDonald's. Every single one of us. If I ask you about McDonald's, you may not admit that you eat there, but the point is there's 3 billion of us and they sell 6 billion hamburgers a day. So somebody's eating there, and it's most of us. Okay, let's just be honest. And some of us might even say, that's pretty good. Okay, yet even though there is scientific data, there is everything out there to tell us that nothing about it is actually really that good for us. Nothing at all. And yet we do. We think it's good. We think I could tell you right now that there is going to be at least a half a dozen people who think it's good when I drive by there today because they're going to be at the drive-thru in the line. Okay? So they think it's good and it's acceptable. And they're showing some sort of reverence by sitting in a line waiting to eat it. So left to my own devices, McDonald's becomes good. And then do we offer, now we're talking in the land of metaphor, do we then, because if that's our perception, offer McDonald's-style worship to the Lord? You know, where it's fast and it's easy and you get to have it your way. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Where we get to do that? I mean, I think about Burger King's slogan, have it your way. And I think sometimes when it comes to worship and reverence and awe towards the Lord, we go, I want to give the Lord everything because he's given everything to me, but I'd really rather do it my way. I'd really rather do it in a place where there's good coffee, where they sing the songs that I like to sing. I'd really rather do it where they, you know, stand up kind of at a minimal, because I don't really like saying my knees hurt sometimes. You know, where they do all the things that I like, where they show really cool videos, and where they don't make me feel guilty at all. You know, where I leave and I just always feel really good about myself.
And it'd be kind of nice if they took an offering only on my timetable so I didn't feel obligated.
Maybe they shared it. Yeah. Maybe they shared it. You know, they took an offering, but then they said, take a little back. Yeah. You know, I think that's it. And I think we're culturally conditioned to that. We're culturally conditioned to having things our way. We want to, but then we also would love to just have it our way. And so Hebrews is an awfully challenging passage to me. Because number one, if I'm grateful for the things that Jesus has done and I realize that his kingdom can't be shaken in the ways that I can be shaken, if I realize that all the things that can conquer me, that Jesus has already conquered them, Suddenly sin doesn't have the same weight it once had. Suddenly condemnation doesn't have the same power it once had. Suddenly guilt and shame are not necessarily a part of my everyday experience because I realize and I'm grateful for the work of the cross, and I understand that that kingdom cannot be shaken. And so I'm leaning into that, and because of that, and because I'm in God's word, because I'm being girded in God's word and prayer to God, I'm offering acceptable worship and reverence and awe. I'm offering him glory, which is what God deserves. God deserves every bit of glory because on your behalf, he gave every bit of everything. Through Jesus, he gave every bit of everything. And I think that some of us don't even grasp that. None of us have ever had our son taken from us, nailed to a cross, bloodied and beaten. None of us have ever really had that kind of level of discomfort. You know, our brothers and sisters in Israel, they understand this. People in Africa, in the Sierra Leone, when people come in their village and they take their children and they kill, they understand this. Here, we don't understand this. We're like, man, is the coffee good? And so we need to come with reverence. And I'm all about good coffee. So if you know me, you know I like some good coffee.
Yeah, I told people the other day, you still say, you don't know if I'm saved because I don't drink coffee.
Bob from the prayer, National Day of Prayer, he mentioned that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's a part of his sanctification. I said, we got to get him to tea and then we'll get him to coffee.
Yeah.
But I think we need to understand this so that we can come to God with reverence and with awe. Everything about God, every single thing about God should blow our mind. The fact that I have this book that I get to open up and I get to read, I should be weeping every page I turn. Because inside this book is God's revelation to me. These words did not get here by accident. It was the intention of the living God. The fact that I get to pray and that the Bible and that his word, which he illuminated, that I'm weeping over as I turn the pages, that I get to pray to him and the Bible tells me he's going to turn his ear and listen to me. I mean, every single bit of it. And the fact that the only reason that I can have the life that I have is through his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, let's just be honest. If you can accomplish anything else in your day, you're a superstar, because I'm just being honest with you. When I stop and start to ponder these things, I just want to go sit down. It kind of takes my breath away. That's why in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I pant when I think about you. Because he starts to think about the ways of God, and he goes, I can't believe it. The living God, Yahweh, has reached out, spoken, and touched my life. It's an amazing moment.
I wrote down a 3C outline. Comfort leads to complacency, which leads to a curse. You know, we're cursed with that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's a whole other side of this, and I know we don't have much time, but maybe in that comfort, we get distracted. Because I'm thinking another tool that Satan uses, certainly getting us in the illusion that we're comforted, that we can just be complacent, we can just sit around and kind of make these comments or these terrible statements that, oh, we don't like this about the church, we don't like this. But how about all the distractions they can use? Maybe it's because our lives are so comfortable, we have all these options, whether it's cable TV, we can go out to the movies, we can do all these things because we have resources. And I think he uses all those distractions to thwart our personal quiet time before the Lord.
We lack so much intention. I mean, and I'll use a great example, is the other day my wife and I were out and we were doing some shopping, and we said, you know, we should grab some lunch. Okay, let's grab some lunch. And we're driving down the street, and we had to have expended 11 to 15 minutes trying to figure out what we were going to eat. Like, I don't know, you want Italian? Nah, you want Chinese? Is good. Yeah, Chinese might be good, but where would we go then? I don't know, what about this place? I don't know, what about this place? And I mean, it was like a 11, 15 minute discussion before we figured out what we were going to do. And I think that that is the whole of our entire lives. I saw kind of a funny thing. I don't know if anybody's ever seen these, but there's somewhere somebody sent me these, like, it's reality ads. You know, it's like there's an ad for Pepsi, and it says, like, Pepsi with the logo, and it says in little letters underneath, because no one's offering Coke. And so one of them said, and if you have Netflix, you'll get my joke. One of them said Netflix because searching for what you want to watch is more fun than watching what you want to watch, which is the truth. If you have Netflix, you'll spend the preponderance of your time trying to find something to watch, because the way that they have for you to search, there's too many options. You know, there's 500 things to watch on TV, and none of us can find anything to watch on TV. You know what? My parents, they had things to watch on TV. They had 7 channels. They had seven channels, and there was all they always found something that they wanted to watch. But we can't seem to find anything. We don't have video stores anymore. We go to the Red Box thing, but you just stand there and you're like, what will I watch? So how much time and energy is expended over this sense of overwhelming choices? Sometimes I think that's why Jesus is so difficult for people, because Jesus tells us we have to make one choice. And we don't live in a culture where we make one choice. We want to drive down the street and go, I don't know, maybe Muhammad today. Maybe I like a little, ganache, or, you know, Hindu. Maybe I'd like a little bit of this, or maybe I'd like a little
bit. Oh, I thought you meant the town of Muhammad driving over there. Oh, no. Muhammad.
You know, but I mean, we do. We kind of drive down the street and we go, you know, I like Jesus, but do you know, is there anywhere where I can get a side of kind of New Age? Or I'd like Jesus with a big side of love and hold the wrath. You know, I mean, we want it our way. An acceptable worship, reverence and awe, means that I don't get to have my way at all. It means that the things the Bible says that are difficult, I thank God that they're difficult. You know why? Because there's a God in heaven. There's somebody up and above and beyond me who was willing to make a tough choice. Because we have choices we need to make, and we flounder at them. We go, I don't know. I mean, I just don't really want to have to say that. I want to have to say that that's wrong. And we have a God up and above and beyond us who said, you know what, that's wrong, and I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm going to let you know it's wrong. And instead of us going, you know, I just really struggle with the Bible saying that, but I'm going to follow God's word anyways. Instead, what we need to do is we need to say, thank God that he made the tough decision, and now I need to stand near and in a kingdom that is unshakable.
Well, speaking of choices, there's two that you can make tomorrow. You'll be a part of one of them. I'll be a part of both of them. The National Day of Prayer is happening tomorrow.
You'll be a part of the early one.
Yeah, early one and the evening one. And I think in the evening one, you're going to be leading out with a prayer of
repentance.
Repentance. Oh, get
for
fired
the
up
church
for that one.
Oh,
everyone.
I'm fired up.
You know where Jason's going to be coming from. So quickly, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, join us at the Linden Banquet Center in Rantoul for a National Day of Prayer event. It'll begin with a deluxe breakfast that includes all the fixins, eggs, bacon, sausage, French toast, juice, coffee, all sorts of things. And then it'll be followed by a devotional thought on prayer by yours truly, and then some worship music. If you need more information, you can call Eric at 217-892-8620, 217-892-8620. There is a $9 cost for the breakfast and the banquet facilities at the Linden Banquet Center in Rantoul. Again, doors open at 6 o'clock, breakfast 6 to 6:30, and the program will go 6:30 to promptly ending at 7:30 so people can make it off to work or go about their day. And then that evening, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at the Vineyard Church in Urbana on North Lincoln Avenue, there's a concert of prayer to coincide with the 63rd annual National Day of Prayer. It's a free event. The Singing Men of GNN will be opening up the evening at 7 p.m., followed by a concert of prayer with various community leaders, including Pastor Jason Schiffo and others. And it'll be a great way to unite our voices in prayer. People from all different denominations, life experiences will come together before the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll honor him this Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the Vineyard Church. So if you need more information, you can call Bob Bridgewater at 217-480-6671, 217-480-6671, the National Day of Prayer. Those are two options for you. I know, Jason, you're going to be a part of something in the morning, praying in Muhammad for the schools and such.
Yeah, we're going to meet at 7 a.m. at the parking lot of the First Baptist Church right over there by the gas station on 150, and we're just going to pray for about 20, 25 minutes publicly from 7 to roughly 7:30, and the idea is that I believe that we are called together for the gospel and that prayer and God's word should be our number one focus. And so we want to gather to pray publicly. I mean, I don't know how many people I see getting coffee and stuff at that gas station. I want them to see God's people gathered together praying. My hope would be that people would drive away with their coffee going, what was going on there?
What were they doing?
Yeah, what were they doing? Well, you know what we were doing? We were interceding on your behalf for the safety of our community, for our nation, for our schools. And I love the location is right there near the school. There'll be buses going by dropping kids off. We can pray for that. I mean, so if you're free at 7 a.m., come over to the First Baptist Church parking lot. This is interdenominational. I don't care if you're Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist. I don't care if you're evangelical. I don't care what you are, Catholic. I don't care. Every one of us can agree that we need to be praying. So come on out and let's pray. and lift that up to God.
So lots of prayer going on tomorrow for the National Day of Prayer, and we hope you'll participate in your own unique way or join with other like-minded believers and rejoice that we have the privilege that we can go before the throne of God, and He hears us, and He delights in hearing us, and He wants to respond to us, and will respond with the perfect answer according to His plan, His timetable, and His design, and His providence.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.